I want to talk today about the church being the embodiment of the gospel. We usually kind of look at that in a reverse order. Our mission in this world is not, like many think, about singing and preaching and praying and taking the Lord's Supper and then, of course, taking up a collection. Though these things are an important part. The Church of God is not a place. It is a container that carries the gospel to the world, though it may be way more than that. We've talked about 1,000 times. You couldn't go to church if you want to. Why? Because you're the church. So if you're over here, are you the church if you're over there or over here or wherever you are? So the gospel is comprehensive in its scope, this good news. And it has huge implications for the church as well as for the world. This thing is big. What we are the church. And what we are is a huge institution, regardless of whether you have a few members or a lot of members. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And it includes His mission. And our mission from God is to witness to the world, or as we can say from the Scriptures, to all creation. That's God's intent. That doesn't mean that I have to be in every place in the world. It means that all of us together combined in different parts of the world come together and pull it all in one place. It involves biblical revelation. The achievement of the cross is involved in that. The power of the Holy Spirit stands out, and the history of its reception on cultures around the world, as well as ethics that are aligned with God and a host of other things. You can't just say the word gospel and it's one thing. Go into all the world and preach the, what does the text say? Gospel. What's the possibility of all of us going into all the world in a lifetime? Just this bunch in here. If we were willing. Last time I checked, the world's big, huge. And to navigate that would be horrendous. But I'll tell you this. The gospel of Jesus Christ, here's what it is. It's a cleaner. When you're in the kitchen and you've mixed up some goulashy thing that's stuck all over the sink and all of that, what do? You're going to say, okay, let's just rinse this off. It don't rinse off well. What do then? You scrub. You scrub. You scrub why? You do that because you want it to be clean for the next time you use it. This is what the gospel is. It's a cleaner to purify God's good world, which He thought, if you want to know, when He created it, was not just good, but what was His word? Very good. The gospel tells the story of Jesus in the light of the Old Testament and the New Testament through the Scriptures. Where both covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, are reflected before all of it in the New Testament. It's amazing how many times when you're reading the New Testament, all of a sudden it'll turn you back to other pages. As Isaiah said, now you may be talking about somebody else over here, and as Isaiah says there, you just ran back to the Old Testament. And so what we do is we call ourselves New Testament Christians. That is a false statement. You are not a New Testament Christian. Are we in the New Testament time period? Yes. And were those ancient worthies in the Old Testament time period? Yes. But who is still running the show? God alone. The gospel for Paul is above all else the historical facts about Jesus of Nazareth. He said, well, no, Paul wrote a whole bunch of books. He did. And in all of those things, you know what he was doing? He wasn't getting you to memorize those texts. He was getting you to understand how to point back to the Messiah. That's what we're about. And he gets that inclination because he wants to accomplish God's salvation in the world. The gospel is an account of the events of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. But it's understood in the light of the scriptures of the Old Testament. When you come to a Bible study and you have a New Testament Bible, and that's all you have, you've lost something. You cannot have the clarity of the New Covenant without having the Old Covenant. That's why we have all of these books. Jesus Christ is there for us. There's not an hour. There's not a day, there will not be a millennium that God does not watch out for His people. Let me ask you a question, those of you who will reveal it. Anybody in this room ever got a spanking? Why did your mama spank you, or daddy, whichever? Why? What was the purpose? Correct your behavior. Yes? 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word. Notice the if. You can read that and say, oh, I'm in the firmness. If you hold firmly to the word what I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now that means it didn't just pop up and happen. This is a book of history that goes all the way back to the mouth of God speaking. That He was buried and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And He appeared then to Cephas and then to the 12. And after that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared also to me as one abnormally born. Did Jesus Christ, before the beginning of time, with the Holy Spirit and with the Father, have every bit of this already ready before man was ever even born? Could God know what the name of somebody would be even if it was 5 million years before? Yeah. Here's something about God. He's not like us. He doesn't forget stuff. Unless He chooses to forget something that He wants to put away. In Galatians 1:11-12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. That means what? That means none of us did this. You don't pick up these texts and read these texts and say, hey, I did this. God smite you down. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. How authentic would the good news be if it came straight through Jesus Christ? The problem is, there is a skip in time where there are those who choose not to believe any of this. But I can tell you this, if the Holy Spirit is willing to live inside of you, does He do that? When you take a covenant with Jesus Christ, when you're baptized into Christ, have you made a covenant with Jesus Christ? But you see, it's not just with Jesus Christ. It's also with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will come and indwell you. And if you walk over here, the Holy Spirit is here. And if you walk 16 miles that away, the Holy Spirit's still with you. The Holy Spirit goes with you wherever you go. 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. Paul said, now brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, the gospel which you received. We have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. Notice he didn't say maybe or could be. You are. That is, if you're in covenant. Hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received I passed on of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, He appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, His sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living through Him. Some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to the apostles. At last appeared to me also as one abnormally born. You and I are in the grip of God. You cannot lose. It is a pathetic situation that's happening in this country. It's not the first time it's happened. There was other times in history when the gospel was very, very shy, very poor. And we think now it's really out there, but it's not near as out there as we think it is. But I'm going to tell you what, God gave us one job. One job. Did God say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Did He say that? Yes or no? Did He say how it had to be done? How you get there? Does that mean that if I need to go to Australia? Or can I still teach from here in Australia? We've done that all over the world. I can do this from home. God doesn't care whether it came from here or from Montana or from some other nation in the world, as long as that message is what goes out. Paul's definition of gospel includes the biblical witness. And the biblical witness is this book. This book that you hold in your hand. The biblical witness tells the whole story of what God has done to save the world instead of some parts and pieces we'd like to read and quote here and there. If we center ourselves on the whole of the Scriptures, that includes both covenants. You can't have it without both of them. Both of them are critical. And we protect ourselves then from what we might call reductionism. We don't want to shrink. The scriptures are filled with historical facts of the gospel, as Paul clearly illustrated in all of this. And we must never dim that or let it be abstract in any way. To minimize the precepts of the power of the gospel is like asking for a healthy heart beating without having to risk the body. I don't know about you, but if I get in a real strenuous situation, my heart does a whole lot of stuff. Does y'all do that? And you start to sweat, want to start peeling off layers of clothing and all of that. That's because God is keeping you going. In the church, if we don't have that same mentality, we're going to see a shrinkage. More and more and more. And then when you get in the higher ups of government in this country and even in other countries, you will have those who are anti-God and trying to bash it down to smaller pieces. Our job is to keep it in big pieces. Keep it being able to be seen. For Paul, an apostle of the Gentiles, clearly good news was about Jesus' universal message for all the nations of the earth. But that too had deep Old Testament roots. You cannot escape. Anywhere you try to go in the Bible, the old roots of the Old Testament. That is the foundation of everything we have today. For a long time, the nations of the world were alienated from the covenant of grace of God and the membership of the household. People were just cut off from it because they didn't know or others would forbid them to go. Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 18, let's read a little bit. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcision by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, Jesus Christ, who once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We sing that song. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Remember that song? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? And it goes on. We're called into that. Verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, has destroyed the barrier, dividing the wall of hostility by setting aside the flesh in the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access to the Father of the Spirit. You and I, if you want to know, are Gentiles. Like it or not, this same gospel transformed our whole lives so that we could embrace and enjoy the covenant blessings we receive when we embrace Jesus Christ in a baptism. Here's the thing about a covenant. A covenant is a good word for me anyway. It's when a covenant is made, it's a promise. You buy that by and large? Now, if God gives you a covenant, and when you were baptized into Christ, if you were, you received that covenant. God made a covenant with you. Everything that you are is cleaned by him constantly. And when God gives you a covenant, he makes peace. There's no hostility. There's a song. Hand in hand we walk together. That's it, isn't it? Do you know, because of the covenant, you can walk hand in hand with God. You don't have to see Him. You don't have to call Him on the phone. God knows what you want right now before you even know you want it. And God is able to deal with that. In all of this, Paul includes being reconciled in the work of the cross and in the participation of those who embrace the covenant of Jesus Christ in baptism. So, well, I don't believe in that baptism. Well, you believe all you want to. I didn't write the book. None of us in this room wrote the book. Not 10,000 before us wrote the book. God wrote the book. And my job's to follow the book. God has only one family, one. Romans 3:28-31, for we maintain that a person is justified, listen, you listen to this close, real close. This is from the covenant, not apart from the covenant. For we maintain that a person is, not will be, may be, could be, a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, the Gentiles too. And since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith, the uncircumcised through the same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold it. God said, I have got this thing so put together, there is no reason anyone would ever be lost. Well, how do you explain that? Well, Galatians 3:26 says, so in Christ, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew or Gentile, slave or free. There's no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. How far back does Abraham go? And who was looking after Abraham? Same God. In the Old Testament period, it had been ethnic Israel alone that was the house of the family of God. But because of the work Jesus did through this covenant, He changed all of that and sent it to the nations. Ephesians 3, verse 10 and 11 says this, His intent was that now through the church, the church is a vessel. It's not a place. The church is a vessel. This is not your church. This has never been your church. Who does it belong to? Jesus Christ. All right. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers, authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. You know what? I am not worth being in the presence of God. I'm a sinful man. I hang out with church people that are sinful people. But you know what God did? He wiped the slate clean, and He keeps the slate clean. And yes, you do sin. And we think, well, let's run up ask the preacher to, you know, stick out the preacher's hand there, shake hands with him and say, Brother Preacher, I have sinned, and I need to say, well, buddy, you are in good company. But I'm holding hands with a God that says, I've given you freedom, and I know your wrongs. And I still will embrace you because I washed it away. I love it. You're good people. We are adopted. I have an adopted brother. My mom and dad adopted this kid when he was very small. He's very big now. But what happened is my mom and dad took him in and sent him to school, taught him things, helped him get through life until he came of age and he was able to go on his own. Do you know that's what God does for us? God's not trailing you everywhere, though God can know everything about everybody in the world at one time, even the ones that's all dead, and there have been a lot of them dead. God still knows what they did. God knows what He does with you. We are adopted in a family and have a full assurance that our salvation is eternal life. Paul said, Romans 8:37, starting, knowing all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, let me tell you this. If God has all of that for you, am I to skip out on that? Or should it be my purpose to have me and my wife raise our children the best we knew how to do? Would that be the same for everybody? Is that part of loving God? Who made those kids? Who created them? And I'm going to tell you what. God was the giver of life in that baby. And we serve a God who is on our side. And you can win every time if we don't give up. It's getting tougher in the world. What's tough in our world right now is Mickey Mouse to what it has been in other places. But we're not in other places, so our Mickey Mouse works, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, no matter where you go, how far you travel, you are never, ever out of the eye of God. He knows all. Not only that, but He loves us so much that He'll either spank us occasionally with things so we'll get our good sense back and do right. That's what a good parent does. Well, we don't believe in switching. Okay. You don't have to beat the kid to death most of the time. But God will do to us what He calls us to do to our children. It all came from Him. Personally, I'm in love with Jesus Christ. I'm pretty cranked up with the idea that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. There's not a step I go on this earth that the Holy Spirit's not there. I do wrong. And I'm going to tell you this. Everything wrong you have ever done and ever will do, God already knows what it is. You can have a situation in a family and all of a sudden, surprise, you know, every day. That's kind of like, not with God. God knew everything you would ever see or do or be before He ever offered you that covenant. I'm going to tell you what. You can't lose with that. That's who we are. And this is what people are missing. So it's our job to let them know. Well, we need a preacher. I'll tell you one more thing, and I'm sure you're tired of me telling you. Do you know that the preacher in the church, when you read the Bible, and something about the preacher, the preacher was never controlling an audience like this. That was never, ever done. the preacher was a guy who would always be outside, and as people came by, he would tell them about the message in order to try to get them inside of the covenant so that they could live forever. We turned all that stuff upside down. The elders are to control the church, but they need to do it in the counsel of God. That's where we are. And as far as I know, I'm doing.